I want to read a couple passages of scripture. I'm going to actually talk with you from 1 Kings 17, verse 8 through 16, but actually I want to read a passage first that's found in St. Matthew chapter 11. And I wish that I could read all of this. I know I don't have time to read it all, but Jesus is talking about his cousin. Verse 12, so verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater man than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it, take it. Look at somebody and tell them, take it. It means to snatch it away. Seize upon it. To claim it for oneself. Okay, don't want to get caught up in that. Let's go to 1 Kings. And let's look at this passage, chapter 17. I probably won't read all of this, but I'll read a few verses of it. And the word of the Lord came. Tell somebody that's sitting or standing next to you, the word of the Lord came. It came unto him saying, and believe me, when the word comes, it's going to say something. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. You look at somebody and tell them, don't be afraid. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The Lord is good. Whoa. There's a lot of background in this scripture. Tonight, I want to talk with you from this passage, Just a little bit, of course, and also from the other passage that we read. And I want to use, I guess, for a thought. We got to throw something out there, right? Oh, God, eat it and die. Interesting here in this scripture, Elijah, early on in the chapter, had spoke a word of the Lord to King Ahab. Everybody remember him, don't we? Ahab was a wicked king. He was a weak king. He allowed his wife, Jezebel, to rule the kingdom as he stand by and just kind of watched. She did a lot of evil things, and this famine that is upon the land here in chapter 17, it is a direct result of the nation sinning against God. You know, God will allow us to get by, but he loves us too much to let us get away. Sooner or later, you will reap what you have sown. Elijah comes on the scene. It's like he comes out of nowhere. Doesn't give any background about it. It just shows up. He shows up with a thus saith the Lord, that it wasn't going to rain until the Lord said so. And it's like he just disappeared. Stick with me. I will say something after a while. He's carried away by God. I don't think Ahab took him too serious until there was no rain for a season. So God takes him to this brook. It was there that God was going to sustain him for a season. Interestingly, while he was there, the way that God was going to sustain him was somewhat unorthodox. You know, God can do some strange things. He doesn't always do it the way we think he's going to do it. God calls ravens to come in and feed him in the morning and in the evenings. The raven was a dirty bird, according to the law of Moses. Dirty bird. I love to get out in the mornings and run. Oftentimes when I'm running in the mornings, I'm out early. I run up on some of them when they are eating their breakfast. You know, the roadkill the day before. He makes a strange sound in his throat as he's eating. Like a gargling sound. God calls these birds to bring his prophet food. You know, that couldn't have been some of us. That's a no-no. Where'd you get this from? But it was God's provisions. God didn't ask Elijah if it was okay. And Elijah certainly didn't tell God that it was not all right. Those birds sustained him for about 6 months until the brook dried up. And, you know, it's interesting here because God led him to the brook, a place where he knew was going to dry up. no surprise to God. But as Brother Phillips says, you can't catch God without a plan. So Elijah is there at the brook. Now, for a lot of us, I think we probably, once we saw the brook dried up, we probably would have been making tracks, trying to find someplace else. But Elijah waited right there. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came. That is a reoccurring statement, particularly in the Old Testament. The word of the Lord came. And when the word of the Lord comes, believe me, he's going to speak. He's going to say something. He's going to give direction. He don't just come and just spread things out. He speaks with specificity. And the word of the Lord came and he gave Elijah some direction. The direction that he gave to him was he was to leave there and go to Zarephath. I did a study about this region where God sent him. Now, by this time, Ahab is looking for him high and low. And he's blaming the famine on Elijah. And so he has all of his soldiers, all of his men, they're going everywhere they could think of to try to find Elijah because they have been told that he's the problem. See, when you start obeying God, I'm telling you, those that are not obeying God will oftentimes see you as the problem. Where did God send his prophet? God's got to send him somewhere where he will be safe. He'll be protected. So God sends him to Zarephath. He sends him to a place where nobody would ever think to look for him. Jezebel, her father was a king, and God sent him to the kingdom where Jezebel's father ruled. Sent him back to the land where she grew up at. Don't tell me that God don't know how to keep you. So all the time, all the while, while Ahab and Jezebel is looking high and low for Elijah, he is in her back door. Are y'all with me here? So he goes to this widow's house. Elijah is facing a great crisis here. Because remember, he's out of water. The brook Cherith, which was his sole supply of water, had dried up. It had dried up because of a lack of rain. This drought which had come upon the land of Israel because of their worship of Baal. And the other evil practices was making its effect felt very, very acutely throughout the entire land. Though Elijah was a great prophet, he was not exempt from the suffering which the drought had brought upon the land. Are y'all with me? Okay. Sometimes people who don't even know God can do wrong, do evil. And it caused those of us to suffer as well. Those of us who know the Lord, we suffer because we are in this world, but yet we're not of the world. So there's no need for me and you to cry out, why me? God knows what he's doing. Praise God, somebody. You see, while they are going through because of their sin, and you are suffering as well, but your suffering is a little different, you see. Their suffering is for the sake God desires to turn them around. But we are suffering because God's going to establish us after we suffer a while. So in the midst of the suffering, one group is being broken down, but another group is being raised up. God's going to, he's going to establish us, strengthen us, settle us, make us perfect. Praise God. Okay, stick with me. I'm going to preach after a while. So here, God's people, they are suffering too. The Bible tells us in Romans 14 and 7 that none of us live to ourselves. So here we are. He is. He's about 100 miles northwest of the Brook Cherith. This is where God takes him, this little town. It was located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. A city that this area actually bordered Israel. Israel and this nation shared a common border. They too were being affected by the drought. Are y'all with me here? So, in that town was a widow who was just about out of food because of these dire conditions that was in the land. You know, a widow would be amongst the first and the foremost to suffer in a situation like this in that time, because she would have less from the beginning, and her means of support would have been her husband. The fact that she's a widow means he's dead and she has no means of support. So they would be amongst the first to run out of food. So God sends his prophet to a woman who did not have any means to support herself. She didn't have retirement. She didn't have welfare. Their only means of supporting themselves, for the most part, was to go and to glean in the fields. But there were no fields to glean in. This was not a lazy woman. If there had been rain, then she, I'm sure, would have been out gathering in what was left of what the reapers would leave behind. But now there's no rain, so there's no crops. So she's suffering. So God sends his prophet to someone's house who did not have the wherewithal to support him. Will God ask you to do something that you cannot do? Oh yeah. It's the only way that he's going to get glory. You see, when you do what you know you could not do, then you know and everybody else know that it had to be God. Praise the Lord, somebody. The thing that's really is fascinating to me. Even though she had no resources, her resources were much less than most of the other people. But because of her great need, yes, God sends his prophet there. If God is telling you, and believe me, God doesn't ask, he commands. If he is commanding you to do something that you can't do, it is because he's going to give you something that you could not have unless you do this. Give somebody a high five and tell them God knows what he's doing. Oh, Jesus. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And he was to take that word to this woman who is about to eat and die. It's a dire situation. It really looks bad. There's nobody trying to help her out. There's nobody that's going to lend her a cup of flour. Nobody's going to help her. She and her son is about to die. Is there anyone here who understands what I'm saying? Have you ever been in a dire situation and there was nobody that was willing to help you because everybody was trying to look out for themselves? You ought to be thankful that there is a God who sits high, but yet he looks low and he knows what things you have need of before you ask him. The Bible doesn't even say she asked God for help. She's a Zidonian. She is a foreigner to the land of Israel. This is interesting here that God had to speak. Now remember, he just finished using the ravens. And they were an unlikely group. Nobody would have thought that God would ever use them. When God spoke to Abraham back in the book of Genesis, was about to reveal the covenant to him. Abraham got those 8 sacrifices together, laid them on the ground. After he cut them in half, laid them on the ground. And once he got them laid out, the Bible says that the fowls of the air tried to come down upon the sacrifices, but Abram drove them away. This is interesting here. Abram had to drive them away. The same bird, probably, that Abram had to drive away, God turns around and used those same birds to feed his prophet. You can't figure God out. You don't know where your next blessing is going to come from. Don't tell yourself that God can't use somebody or something. He is God, and he will use whoever he pleases, whatever he wants to do, whatever pleases him. Oh, God. The word of the Lord came. It did. So here, Elijah is going to Zarephath. Remember, it's about a 100-mile journey. It is. He's going. And he's walking this long distance with no water, no food. You think maybe the ravens fed him while he was going? I don't know. How long would it have taken him to walk that distance? This took a while. What was the odds of him showing up after this long journey? Maybe a week, 2 weeks. What's the odds of him showing up and the first person he encounters is a woman that God has spoken to him about? God brought him in the city at the right time. Are you hearing me? And so he's walking in and he sees this woman. And she is gathering, she said, 2 sticks. 2 sticks. This is interesting, you know, because her mindset, she's got this great need, just like Elijah. This woman is faced with a life and death situation. They both needed help. They both needed help if they were going to survive. What was going to determine whether they survived or not was this woman's obedience. Elijah had already obeyed God. The word of the Lord came. We don't see where Elijah is questioning God, asking God, why? Why would you send me there? He simply gets up and he goes. I wish we had more people that in our churches that would just obey God. Miracles happen when we obey God. Because while we're trying to figure it out, you know it. He already worked it out. Woo! They needed help. And help was available to. It was available from God. But God doesn't help if you're walking in disobedience. Obeying their God-given duty, I'm telling you, was going to cause help to come. And when you and I, when we obey and do what God have told us to do, it's going to bring help from the throne. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It releases the miracle working power of God when you walk in obedience. Obedience to duty is always the best way to obtain help from God. If you will just do what God said to. There is a word from the Lord. And when the word of the Lord comes, it's not coming just to entertain you. It's not coming just to make you happy. It's coming with a command. It's coming to release something over your life. It's coming to give direction. And when we obey, it will bring blessing. It will bring help from the throne of God. Praise the Lord, somebody. Elijah had to sit there and watch the brook dry up before he would move. He was not going to move too quick. He had to sit there. He waited upon God. It's interesting how he is sitting there and now the brook is already dried. He knew it was drying probably days before it actually dried up, but he waited at Cherith until the word of the Lord came unto him. Verse 8 and 9, and the word of the Lord came, and it came saying something. It said, arise and get thee to Zarephath. The will of God for Elijah was revealed to him by the word of the Lord. Hallelujah to God. But I want to tell you something here. Elijah was not alone in this experience. This widow woman who was 100 miles away also got a word from God. Are y'all hearing me in here tonight? God spoke to this woman. Hallelujah. When you read verse 9 where it says, I have commanded. God said, I have commanded. Actually, she got a word before Elijah did. God spoke to her before he spoke to Elijah. Why? Here's this woman who's not a Jew. She doesn't really know God, but God speaks to her and said, you've got to sustain my prophet. You've got to sustain him. Talk to me, somebody. So a week or two later, the man of God shows up, and he shows up at a time when she is about to eat her last cake and die. She had already received the word from the Lord. The word of the Lord had already came. Isn't that just like us sometimes? God have already spoken to us, already told us what to do, but we're going to do what our rationale tells us to do. We're going to do what we think is best. But if you do, you will eat it and die. When you eat it, when you follow your own way, you will take your last bite and you will die. But there is help from God, and the help comes through the word of the Lord. Somebody clap their hands and give God a praise. Woo! I feel a praise coming on here. I really do. I sense something about to break loose up in here.
Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. So he shows up a week or two after the woman had already received a word from the Lord. Remember what I said, she got it before he got his. So when God spoke to Elijah, he was able to tell Elijah, I have commanded. This is past tense. I've already told her. I've already said it. Praise God. You know how we are. A lot of us, we're just like this widow. We are looking at what we got. We heard what God said, but we're looking at our provisions. We're looking at how much money we have. We're looking at how much food we have. We're looking and we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to ration it down. Talk to me, somebody. If God told this woman at least a week in advance, maybe 2 weeks in advance, she already knew that the man of God was coming. She already knew. So God waited till she got down to her last. Isn't that just like God? Sometimes he don't show up when you think he's gonna show up. He waits till worse gets worse. So you got to know then that it is God. If you get some saved, somebody give God a praise. Ask the person next to you, what is your duty? What's God saying to you? What is he telling you? Everybody has something that they must do. What is God saying to you? A lot of us, we have the eat it and die mentality. In spite of the word of the Lord that came, she still has her mind fixed on what she don't have. Eat it and die looks at what you don't have. It looks at the lack of, instead of looking at the abundance. You see, you can't see the abundance with your eyes. You got to obey God first before God reveals and make known what he really has for you. So if you have a eat it and die mentality, then that is exactly what will happen. You really won't get that job. You really won't get that house. You really won't, y'all not talking to me. I'm telling you, you'll be among those who will be trying to play it safe, but faith does not play it safe. Sometimes faith does not make sense to the natural mind. Talk to me, somebody. When you obey God, oftentimes it don't make sense because sometimes God will tell you to give your last and you don't see where the next meal is going to come from. You don't see how in the world you're going to be able to pay the bill, but God will supply. I heard Paul said God will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. Somebody shout yes if you will. I've seen church members with an eat it and die mentality. They don't care how much you preach to them and how much you tell them. God will bless you if you will just give. If you will just trust God, they already have their mind made up. They're not going no further than what they can see. Hallelujah to God. I said hallelujah to God. But you have got to get away from that mentality. As a matter of fact, if you are hanging out with somebody with an eat it and die mentality, you got to break it off from them. Because association brings on assimilation. You will be doing what they're doing, saying what they're saying, acting the way that they're acting. We gotta trust God. I've come to ask you a question tonight, and that question is anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah to his name. The word of the Lord does not come according to your bank account.
As a matter of fact, the word that the scripture that I quoted a few moments ago that says that they eat anything too hard for the Lord. The word hard there means wonderful. Have you seen God do some wonderful things? Then why do you have the eat it and die mentality? This woman is going to die, and so will you. You will die to the things of God. You see, if you disobey God, he doesn't go on to something else. You see. No, he's still right there. When are you going to do this? So you going on to something else? No. Come back here. This is what I told you right here. No, right here. You got to be persistent in doing the will of the Lord. And understand this, please. Many who want us to think they are doing God's will are acting contrary to God's word, which means that they are not in the will of God, no matter how much they may insist they are. Yeah. It's the word of the Lord that's going to determine the will of the Lord for your life. What is God saying to you? It's sometimes fascinating that some folks will always hear God agreeing with what they want to do. Have God ever disagreed with you? I know my God has. No, I don't want you to do that. No. Okay. Elijah was faithful to God's will. Faithful. When you're faithful to doing what God said do, keep in mind what I've told you. Send him to this brook. Stay there. He stayed there till it dried up. He didn't take matters in his own hand. He stayed right there till it dried up. Then the word of the Lord came. Gave him further instructions, further directions. This direction that he gave him now seemed like it puts him in harm's way. We don't read anywhere where he's resisting God. He simply does what God said to do. He goes there. I'm almost done. Stay with me just a few more minutes. He goes to this woman who've already received the word of the Lord, already heard it, God had already spoken. You know, I guess I asked myself the question. I did. God, why did you? You know, this woman was going to respond like this. Why did you speak to her? He told me. He said, because I also knew that she would change her mind. So he goes. Oh God. She's been given a duty to sustain the man of God. Now she's down to her last little drop. 2 weeks ago, she had 14 days worth of food. Now, just a little bit is left. So Elijah shows up, and
This is kind of funny to me. They asked the woman. He knows. He knows that this is her power. I guess God revealed this is the woman. He tells her to go. Fetch me. He says a little water. Listen to me. There's a famine in the land. She didn't say one word when he told her to go and fetch him some water. She's on her way to get it. What does that tell you? The water is in tight supply. She's going to get him a cup of water. While she's going to get it, he comes out with a, by the way. Oh, while you're going. See, this is the real deal right here. See, this is when the resistance came up. God asks more out of you than what you think you can do. Bring me a morsel of bread. Oh. Whew. Oh, the resistance came. Whoa! Wait. Wait a minute. Now I'm gonna get you this water. I got a little more of that than I do, you know, what is the ingredients that it's gonna take to me to make a cake of bread. Because I only have just a handful of that. And just a little bit of oil left in the cruise. God starts to touch you in your lack. This is when your faith really gets tested. Oh boy. And we can tell where you lack the most, because that's where you scream the loudest. No, Pastor, no. But it is also the place God is going to bless you the most. It is in the place of your lack, not necessarily the place of your abundance, but the place of your lack. So challenges this eat it and die mentality. See, she didn't just get that when he told her to go and fetch him a morsel of bread. Remember, she's gathering sticks before he came. She knows she's down to her last. She's already wrote out the obituary, planned the funeral out. She and her son was probably going to die embraced together, laying on the floor. But God had another plan. Don't take up too much time. I'm telling you, God's got another plan for you. For some of you, you are down to your last. And God is challenging you. Will you obey me now? Will you do what I've told you to do now? A lot of us can only trust God as far as we can see. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Things you can't figure out. You can't rationalize this. You can't put it together. You can't wrap your brain around it. But you know that God said it. And if God said it. I've got to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I just know I got to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I just know I got to get there because God told me to do it. And if God told me to do it, then God's got to make it happen. I found out that God never gives a word without corresponding grace to go along with that word. If God said it, then it is His responsibility to make it happen. All you and I must do is just be obedient. Hallelujah. If God say go, then you gotta go and declare, if I don't make it, I go down trying and I'm going in that direction that the Lord told me to go in. Somebody help me tonight. I serve a God who is able. And if we will just trust Him and get rid of that mentality, just believe God, things will be all right and we will see miracles happen in our lives. Somebody give God a praise in this house.
God help me. Woo! You know, we just came back. Some of the folks of our church, we did a cruise 7 days, and we were touring some of the Caribbean cities. One of the first things that they put up, you know, you see the sign, duty free. You didn't get that. What it means is that you don't have to pay tax here. Well, some of us want to live our lives like that. Duty free. We just want to come, just sit in the pew. Who doesn't go to work? But we're duty free. God's not telling us to do anything. We're just happy. But the God that I serve, He challenges me. Don't panic because of your lack. It is in the lack that God's going to bless you the most. I kid you not. This woman is challenged. And the biggest challenge is whether she would take care of herself or would she obey God and do it? What is going to come first? Will it be self or will it be duty? Remember what Elijah said to her? This thing showed up. Elijah said this, make me, come on somebody, a little cake, come on, first. Elijah's request was for her to give him the last bit of meal in this barrel. Instead of her and her son eating, he says, make me one first. What a severe test. This is a severe test. It really is. I think sometimes even the best of unselfish people would struggle right here. Oh, help me, Jesus. And the famine, would make this challenge even more difficult, you see. Famine brings out selfishness in all shapes and forms. It does. When things get tight, y'all not talking to me. Praise Jesus. Oh God, it brings it out. It really does. It does. Listen to this. Show you what happens in the midst of a famine. This is in 2 Kings 6:28-29. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, said, this woman said unto me, give me thy son, that we may eat him today.
and will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. This actually happened. And I said unto her, on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hid her son. I'm telling you, these were mothers that gave birth to these children. And in the midst of a famine, they became selfish and they only thought about themselves. Famine brings the worst out of folks. Oh, it is when you are in lack that you're going to be tested the most. And it is very, very difficult to look beyond your need and see what God is trying to do. Oh God, it amazes me that this widow passed the test with flying colors. She was not a selfish woman. She gave God's word, God's command, priority over herself. This is so hard. This is so difficult. A lot of us, we don't know nothing at all about genuine self-giving and self-sharing until our own survival is literally put on the line. Oh, that's when the beast comes out. As long as I have enough and to spare, I'm okay. You know, we talk about prosperity. We talk about, you know, and that's what prosperity is having enough and to spare. But sometimes before God prospers you, he causes you to suffer lack. He causes you to go through something where there's not even enough for you. And then he says, now give it to me. And it is then when you will obey God and get rid of that eat it or die mentality that God will bless you the most. You guys are not talking to me. But it is true. It is true. It is true.